Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey there. I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
Praise God. It's good to be home. It's good to be in church. And I would like to pray before starting. I feel in my spirit to pray. So if you can pray with me. Heavenly Father, I give you all the honor and all the glory, Lord. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Son. I praise you, Holy Spirit. I yield to you, Holy Spirit. Let your voice be heard this morning, not mine. I decrease so you may increase, God. I humble myself. I know nothing, and you know everything. For you are the only true God. Jesus, be the center of the service. Be the center of my heart. Be the center of our church. In the name that is above all names, we give you all the honor and all the glory. Only you are worthy, my Lord and Savior, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to Legacy Church. This is good to be Sunday. It's my favorite day of the week because we don't have to work and we come to church. And we can sleep in unless you have a two-year-old. But it's good to be home, and I always love, there's nothing like worshiping together. There's nothing like being together in the house of the Lord, together, the way God intended for it to be. And today we're in our week three of house rules, and as I was thinking about this, isn't it amazing when this thing's going to be fighting me all day? It's okay, I rebuke you. But isn't it amazing that a lot of times the thing that we don't like in someone, it's a lot of times the thing that, you know, it's kind of like us. For example, children is the most reflecting thing. If you have more than one, bless your heart. I have one, I can hardly keep up. But a lot of times you see the kids and you're like, why are you so stubborn? Why can't you just not listen? Do you always have to get hurt? And then my mom comes with this revelation from the heavens. And like, oh, she's just like you. So it almost seems like the thing that, I wish, you know, this person wouldn't be like. It's a lot of times what we are like. And we're wrapping up our house rules today. We're week three. And the topic for today is going to be parenting as disciple making. And the last couple of weeks, you know, we took and we're talking about how the home of the church represents an image of the heavens, an image of how Christ intended to be. I say that marriage represents the church in Jesus Christ. We are the representation of what the world needs to see, how the church submits to Christ and how Christ loves the church. And the truth is, church, it started with a marriage and it would end with a marriage. It started in Adam and Eve, God blessing Adam and Eve. They said one of the best things, Pastor, that at least Adam didn't have a mother-in-law. And I was like, what about the serpent? Just kidding. But the truth is, it started with a wedding. It would end with a wedding. Some of you are still trying to, what? It would end at the wedding where Jesus is the groom and church as the bride. And that is the representation that Jesus and God wants in our marriage. But the truth is, church, in the times that we're living in today, where love has been redefined, where marriage has been redefined, we as the church might have to stand again on what is the truth and on the principles, because let me tell you something, the government did not establish marriage. Man did not found a marriage. Marriage was founded by God. Man was established by God. And God knows and God said what marriage is. Who gave man the right to redefine marriage when it was God the one who established marriage in the garden? When he blessed Adam and Eve. And we, the church, must go back to the principles and live accordingly. And you see, and if you wonder why the enemy attacks so much the marriage, it was not only because it was founded and established by God. Have you ever wondered why the government is involved in marriage? For a couple to be seen and recognized in society as marriage, you have to go to court. The church here, the spiritual wedding is not enough. The government requires for you to marry. Have you ever wondered why the government is involved? Because it gives stability to society. Because it creates a stable society. And what the enemy is doing is disrupting marriage. Because if you disrupt families, you disrupt families, marriages. And if you disrupt the families, you disrupt the church. Because the church is established and it's founded with the families. And we must go back to the biblical principles of marriages and families once again. 2 weeks ago, we said that marriage was one of the hardest things you ever do. And I like to think, yes, maybe no. But when Jesus is at the center, things change. It can be the hardest thing whenever you're trying to do your own thing and she's trying to do your own thing, and two imperfect beings living in the same household. But when Jesus is under center, things change. But one of the hardest things is to parent. Tell me about it. I have a 2-year-old. She learned, I don't know how, to climb out of the crib. The other night, I heard just stumble, boom. Boom, so I cracked the door and I was watching. Like, what is she doing? She throws the pillows, the comforts on the ground, and she climbs and she slides down. I'm like, Lord, I know that's smart. That was me, but praise God because she's smart. I was sharing with Shannon a month ago, 3-4 a.m., I just heard the door open. I opened my eyes. I didn't see anything. I went like this. I said, Jesus, is that you? And I just heard her voice, and the door shut down, and she climbed and got in between us. Okay, it's our daughter. It's not Jesus. I was like, whew. Thank God I had my prayer. But parenting can be difficult. And there's books, and you can go to family reunions, and you can go to these family gurus. But I love the fact that God put everything in his word. I love the fact that God established marriage and he told us how to parent. Maybe there's not a chapter where you say, parenting 101, let's go to Psalms. But throughout the Bible, he teaches us how to be disciple parents. And it's a little bit what we're going to talk about today. You see, I understand when we're parents and they don't come with instructions. And a lot of times, you know, when we start parenting, I was reading this book and I'm like, yeah, I thought of myself like Mr. Rogers, you know, but after a week or two, I come home and, you know, you end up looking like the Castaway guy. Oh, do we have the picture? And then, you know, my wife showed me this video where the mom is just going crazy and the husband just pops the door and says, oh, I have to do another thing. Because the truth is, it's not easy, but we don't have to do it alone. My mom used to say, well, babies don't come with instructions. And I know some of you might think about it, and I've thought about it. We wish they had the 30-day Amazon Prime policy, where if you don't like it in 30 days, you can return them. But the truth is, we can't. So how about we embrace parenting, and we see what God has given us the wisdom You see, I always think about how can we disciple effectively, training our children to obey, but yet have that authority spiritually, and yet be providers. And a lot of times, depending your age, you know, we all kind of, well, not the young guys, but we know what the holy sandal is. Anybody? Yeah, the older, the young guys don't know what I'm talking about. But, you know, it was like, the parents were like, it's biblical for me to hit you. I must spank you because it's biblical. That's what the Bible says. But we tend to either go with one or the other. We have this authoritative, you know, that we, because I say so. Or then we have the other parenting where you just give them whatever they want to make them happy. It is not one or the other. We must find that balance. But God gives us a vision of parenting, you know, where we're not alone. And we're going to start with the Word because, after all, this is the center of it all. And Deuteronomy 6, from chapter 4 to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 9, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength." This is known as the Shema. And I think I talked about this several weeks ago. But, you know, it's, the word Shema means to listen. And it's talking about keeping the covenant. Saying listen, but obey. Listening and obeying is under the same coin. And God is telling him, listen, oh God. Listen, listen, Israel, listen. Don't separate the words between listening and doing. It's about doing God's commandment. You see, it talks about the heart, the soul, and the strength in a progression. The heart, the inner being. The heart, the mind. The soul, your emotions. Your whole self. And strength, everything with your resources. Anything that you can, love the Lord. And this is so important because in the New Testament, Jesus is also asked, Lord, what is the greatest commandment? And he replies the same Shema. He replies the same verse in Matthew 22, verse 37. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. So the first principle of being a godly or Christ-like parent is to love God. It flows from there. It flows from the umbrella where you love God with all your mind, with all your soul. Because then you're going to treat them with love. Then you're going to disciple with love, even if it's with a holy sandal. You still do it with love. But it flows from the umbrella that we love God above all things. And not only we say it, but they see it. But they can experience the love for God. We continue in verse 6 and 9. It says, "These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on your door frames, on your houses, and on your gates." I know some of us were thinking, I wish this would have just say, just a church. Maybe just a Sunday school. Maybe just when they go to camp. But it's talking about impressing on a repeatedly constant. It's talking about a commitment as a family matter. It's talking about an everyday thing, a 24/7 thing. You see, discipleship is just not a church. The Bible calls us to be intentional. For us to intentionally impress the Word of God. As I was thinking about this and I was meditating, I said, oh God, give me a fresh word for the church today, because we're living in times where kids growing up think they know it all. I know we're living in different times, and you might think, well, the Bible is old, but you see, the Bible never changes. The Bible is the same and it's true from yesterday, today, and forever. And the question for us is, how much of our family conversations are about what God is doing and impacting in our lives? Because things start at home. Things start with us. And I am learning with the little one that they're like little satellites. They hear everything and they see everything. Kind of like the big brother. They're always watching you. And we've grown up for a long time. We made the mistake of telling our children, do this, do that. But they don't see us do it. And one of the things that we have to understand, that if the truth of God, his word, doesn't fill their hearts, then the lies of the enemy will. And you just turn on the TV, just look at the media, just ask your kids about TikTok. The enemy is throwing at our kids hardship. They're redefining marriage. They're redefining what a relationship is with sexual conducts. When was the last time you heard a teenager said, oh, my hero is so-and-so pastor. I follow so-and-so worship group. They're heroes. And the ones that they follow on Instagram are rappers, are singers, that they don't act or behave or talk in a godly manner. And the truth is, church, we cannot expect our children to worship if they never see you worshiping. We can't expect for our children to raise their hands at church if they never see you raising your hands. And I might step on some toes this morning. I hope you're not wearing sandals. But we cannot expect for our children to read the Bible if they never see you, Dad, with the Bible open. We can't expect for our children to be praying if then they see you praying. How can we expect for our children, for our young people, to make an act of faith, to be faithful, to be young women, young adults of faith, if you never act on faith? If they never see you praying, but instead if a church is one thing and at home is screaming, yelling, and cursing and swearing. And what's on TV is completely different than what's at church. And the music that we hear and the shows that we watch, trust me, that's impressing our children more than an hour of church. I remember when my wife, when Melly, got pregnant by the works of the Holy Spirit, of course. I must confess, I was worried before I got excited because, truth be told, I thought it was irresponsible of me to bring a child to this world in the way the world is. We're chaotic, with sin. And I like eschatology and the end of times and things are lining up. I say, oh God, what did you do? Because it wasn't me. And it took a friend of mine from work who was new in the faith, who used to call me to ask me about questions about the Bible, questions that he had, that when I told him, he was happy and said, I am glad that there's going to be another child that is going to be light. I am glad there's going to be another child that is going to be raised with biblical principles, that is going to make a difference at schools, that is going to make an impact in society. And it shifted the way for me to think. Because now I see that it's a privilege and a responsibility and a blessing. And I told my wife, we have about 5 to 6 years to impress our daughter with the word of God, to impress our daughter with biblical principles before they go to the world, before they go to schools. Because Deuteronomy 6 is talking about parents being the disciple makers. And how many of us think that by going, attending a church, our kids to church, we're hoping that the youth leader, we're hoping that the Sunday school teacher will impress the word in our children. We leave it up to them. That's just an hour, maybe 2 hours a week, but they're with us all the time. I believe that we can impact our generation. When I was about to get married, I was reading about curses and generational curses, and I was just praying there in my room. And I said, God, I'm going to impact my generation. I saw that in my mom's bloodline. Out of my grandmother had 13 children. She didn't have Netflix, praise God. And all of them didn't get married or end up in divorce or they were in a second marriage. My biological father passed away when I was 5 years old. And they were just, you know, like each other. Okay, let's go live together. And I saw this. All of a sudden, God showed me that this was in my mom's family. And I said, I'm going to break that curse in my family. It takes a decision. I'm going to break. I'm going to impact my generation. I'm not just going to take my wife and live with her. I got to do whatever I got to do. I was young, stupid, good looking. Now I'm still good looking and older and mature. But we decided to get married when we were young. When we told that we've been married for 8 years, you know, she just turned 30. People are like, 31, right? 31. People are like, what? You were young. I'm like, yeah, because we didn't want to keep sinning, because we put God first. And I decided I'm going to impact my generation. I decided that I didn't want to just be a believer, but I want to be a disciple of Christ. Because the Bible says that even demons believe and they tremble in the presence. But the difference between a fan or a believer to a disciple, that a disciple does what the master teaches. And when I turned 21, I said, God, I'm going to be a disciple. So I decided to learn. I decided to go deep in the word. I decided to take classes. Being a pastor was not the outcome. Being a pastor was not the plan. I didn't start seeking God because of it. I just started to seek God because I wanted to impress my generation. I wanted to impact my generation. And I think God is calling us with these children that we have. You and I didn't choose what families we came from. Some of us maybe came from dysfunctional families. Maybe you came from a family that wasn't Christian. I am a first-time Christian family. I didn't grow up in the church. My dad, my stepdad gave me a Bible at the age of 15, but he never opened the Bible with me. I had to learn the story of David and Goliath on my own. But I decided to make a pact with God, and I decided to make a commitment to impact my generation. With me, it's different. There might be drunk in the family. There might be curses in the family. People got married. People just left without getting married. It changes with me. It changes with my family. It changes with my generation. It changes with my children. I have to be intentional. I turned 21. I said, like, I love music. I'm going to start learning to play guitar. Turns out that's what something that my wife and I, we attracted to each other, music, the word of God. And now our daughter is growing up in music, and she barely started walking. She's just hitting on the keyboards. Because I decided to do a change in my life. The decisions that we make can impact our generation. What decisions are we making that are influencing and impact our generations? I remember when we were youth leaders, my wife and I, we did everything that we could. We took them to the Noah's Ark. You guys remember the blue bus? Yeah, I drove that thing all the way over there. No AC. The white van broke down like 3 times. We slept outside of a Waffle House. We slept outside. We took them to the Six Flags. I told them about the Holy Spirit. We told them about Jesus is coming soon, about Revelation. We did everything. You guys would have loved to be in our youth group. Instead of doing this whole, go to the maze or stuff like this for, what is it coming, Halloween? We took them over there to the Lanaga where they do this act or play about the tribulation. It's called Tribulation Trail. I'm like, let's scare them out of hell. Let's take them every year. We did everything we could. But I realized we prayed. We did locked-ins and we would stay here and we prayed for them. But I realized that it didn't matter how much we did. If they didn't sit at home, if they never saw a dad or a mom praying, if they never saw a mom or a dad, telling them biblical principles, it was tough and it's hard. It starts with the parents. We can't expect for the public schools or the government to impress our children. There was a time, church, when the government, when society, when schools supported Christian principles. There was a time, but that time is long gone. There's a time where biblical principles are instinct, where now we are the weird ones, where now we are the different ones. But I also believe that God has established us at a time like this. And with the power of the Holy Spirit and the power of God, because that's what Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's power for salvation. And I truly believe that we have been in a time like this. So now my mentality is different. I said, I have to impress on my daughter. I have to make her light in the world. I have to pray for her in the Holy Spirit. I don't care. Start speaking baby tongues. I don't care. But do something. You have to be different. But I also learned that it starts with me. And I also learned that we can talk to them, but the biggest impact is for them to see us do what we say. And there's something that we're lacking, and I think we've all been guilty for. It's at church, we're raising our hands. At church, we're all holy. We look good. But we can't be at home yelling and screaming and cussing. Mom, you can't expect for the family to be well and for God to bless your family if you're not submitting to your husband. I said I was going to step on some toes. Husbands, you can't expect for your wife to submit to you if you're not submitting to Christ, if you're not loving her. Everything the way God established it. God established it with a purpose. And there's something that we're lacking nowadays. The spiritual leaders at home. There's books and studies that the biggest influence on children are when we as parents influence them and impact them. There's a handing down book, The Faith, that talks about, you know, going to events, talk about going to church, but that the frequency of passing it down about talking to God to our children is what makes a difference. A parent is the primary spiritual influence, but it cannot be the only influence. See, Matthew 12, 49, 50 says, pointing to his disciples, Jesus said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." We are the church, and this is our spiritual family. And it's also a responsibility for not only to be examples to our children, but to bring them to church. The truth is, a lot of times we have replaced Sunday with football games, soccer games, or baseball games. And our children have events. Oh yeah, we're not going to go to church that Sunday because, you know, we have a game. And if we grow up like this, and that's what we're teaching our children, they don't feel like whenever they grow up, they put any excuse not to go to church. Because you supported that to begin with. Sunday football has already replaced church on Sundays. Starts now. Starts when they're young. And I want to make a call to the fathers this morning. Because the truth is, we are the spiritual leaders, and God called us to be the spiritual leaders in the household. And we're living in a generation in 2023 where moms and women are the ones seeking God. Where women are the ones participating. Women are the ones teaching our children. Women are the ones in school. Women are the ones praying. Well, this day and this morning, in the name of Jesus, I call on the fathers for us to wake up, for us to lift up and take up again the responsibility that God gave us. God called us to be the priesthood. God called us to be the spiritual leaders. I'm not saying that women is in a below level. When he's talking about the help, when he's talking about submitting, it's talking about roles. We have different roles in family. But the spiritual leadership is called to the father. And we see now men following the women instead of women following the men to church. And we wonder why our families and the society is the way it is and why the enemy is attacking the family. But it's time for men. Men, when was the last time your wife woke up and she saw you praying? Praying for your family, praying for your daughter, praying for your son. When was the last time you said, "We're going to do a fast this Monday, this Sunday"? Where you, it came from you, where you established. We men have a great responsibility. And that's why the Bible says, that's why I said it from the beginning. Marriage represents the church and Christ. But it goes anchor. Where the man submits to Christ and the woman submits to the men. Where we're equally submitting. Where we're equally doing our roles. And then you're going to see the church flow. We're going to see a revival. When we start once again taking the roles and the responsibilities at home. It starts at home. So I'm calling to the men this morning. For us to take the responsibility and say, I'm going to be obedient to the word of God. For us to take the responsibility and say, I'm going to teach my children. Don't leave it to the mom. Yes, they can do it, of course. I'm not saying that women belong to the kitchen. I clean, I mop, I sweep, ask my wife. I wash the dishes. I help. I'm not talking about the macho and the women. I'm talking about the spiritual aspect. And what happens, churches, when women see men not seeking God and not spiritually strong, they feel like it's a nature that they have to take over. It's just the nature. Someone has to. And then it turns where men see it and they just start following. It just happens so casually. I see it all the time. It happens in all the families, in all the cultures. What we see is strong women and we see weak men, spiritually talking. And it's creating dysfunctional families and a dysfunctional church. We need more men to preach. We need more men to serve. We need more men to be in the front sides of praying. Every time you talk about praying and getting a meeting for prayers, most of them are women. But the Bible called men to pray. When we talk about worship, women are raising their hands and wearing out their knees, and the men are like, whoops, hands in the pocket, watching the men worship, watching the women worship. It's time for us to give an example. We see David going around circles, going around, raising their hands, don't take your clothes off, but you know the picture, humbling himself before the Lord. I call to the men here at Legacy Church for us to be the first ones raising our hands and worshiping to God. For us to show the world and the enemy that we're taking our spiritual positions and our spiritual leadership. That we are the first ones to worship God. That we are the first ones to pray. That we are the first ones to come to the altar. That's how we start leading. That's how we start making a difference. That's how we start impacting our generation. I'm almost done, don't worry. Statistics show that a lot of times, that's why you see a lot of prisoners, a lot of people with mental problems just because a daddy was absent. Let's take it to the spiritual part, where the dad is not praying, where the dad is not being the spiritual leader. That the spiritual forming is not the same way. Ephesians 4, 14 to 16 says, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect make mature body of him who is in the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself in love as each part does the work. Sundays is for the Lord. And what guides us, what's to be the center of our homes and discipleship, needs to be the Bible. There's so many people who put themselves on YouTube and podcasts teaching all sorts of things. That is disarming the families, that is disarming the church. And I think it's time for us to go back once again, men, to be men of the word, to be men of prayer, to be men of example. As our children become more independent, we must become more dependent on God. The quote from Paul Tripp says that, so your hope as a parent is not found in your power, your wisdom, your character, your experience, or your success, but in this one thing alone, the presence of your Lord, the Creator, Savior, Almighty, Sovereign King, is with you. Let your heart rest. You are not in this parenting drama alone. Your potential is greater than the size of your weakness. Because the one who is without weakness is with you, and he does his best work through those who admit that they are weak. But in weakness still, heed in his call. And as we pray this morning, as we finish with prayer, I want us to hear what the Holy Spirit is telling us. I believe that we were place in a time like this to make a difference. We don't know how long we have. We don't know when Christ is coming back for his church. But same thing, I do know this, that the world is upside down. And the world needs for Christian believers and family Christian people to have Christ at the center, to be spirit-filled, to be able to impact the generation, to be able to impact the students. The moment we start seeing that we're sending our children, it doesn't matter elementary, middle school, but that they can impact and influence other kids in a Christian-like manner, that they can be a little light in the world, then it reminds us that we have to be intentional, that we have to pour out on our children. Not overprotecting them, but pouring out of the Holy Spirit, pouring out of the Word for them to see us do it. So as we pray this morning, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And once again, I want to pray for the fathers. I want to pray for us. Because parenting and being a spiritual leadership comes with a responsibility to follow Christ, to submit to Christ, to be an example. As parents, we think that our only role is to provide, but there's so much more. It just begins with providing. And I truly believe that what God is doing in our church, because we've always been a D6 church, and how much we pour out in our children, how much we already do with our children, this is going to enhance what God is doing here in the Legacy Church. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you for your word. I thank you because you are great. You're an amazing God. Because you are true to your promises. You are true to your word. I exalt your holy name. And this morning, Father, I want to pray for all of us who are parents. I want to ask you, Jesus, to be the center of our families. To be the center of everything that we do at home. For us to be a D6 family everywhere we are. For us to be able to impress our children with your word. For us to be intentional when it comes to teaching our kids. When it comes to praying with our kids. When it comes to open the Bible with our kids. I bless every father here, every family represented. I bless every dad with your wisdom. For you to fill them up with your Holy Spirit, with your knowledge. Guide us, Holy Spirit. Guide us, Holy Spirit. We know we're living in difficult times. But you know, we also know that there is power in your name, that there is power in your word, and that there is power in your Holy Spirit. And that you place us here in a time like this, oh God, to be light, to be the salt, to be different, to be portrayers of your kingdom. I ask you for your truth to be in us all the time. I bless every family represented. I bless every family that is going through trials and tribulations, oh God. For your peace, your joy, and your love to be present in every marriage. For every father to love their wives, every man to love their wives like Christ loved the church. For every woman to submit to their husbands. For everybody to submit to yourself so we can represent you, oh God. I give you all the honor and all the glory. I bless your holy name in a name that is above all names. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.